So what we've learned is it's either has to be a video camera that we're recording a podcast on.
Yeah, that seemed to work out pretty well once you went through all the rigmarole of...
It worked out pretty well. I'm Christopher Walken doing a podcast.
I would say rigmarole was a good word for whatever you had to do with that gigantic video file to get it down to an audio podcast.
I think anyone listening at home or you can agree that a... audio, even an hour-long audio track, should not be like 5 gigabytes in size.
that was a quality thing. I mean, you could always use the video. I didn't even know the video had us on it.
I think it was just our shoulder. It was like your shoulder, yeah. Your left shoulder, and my right shoulder was.
That could be the theme of our series, shoulder to shoulder.
Oh God, no.
Shoulder versus shoulder.
Shoulder SBS?
To cry on. I don't know.
A shoulder to press the stop listening to this podcast button with. Is that a dedicated button? Stop listening to
it
this podcast. Damn
it. We are on a crusade to make that a real button.
And by God, we will record nothing useful or entertaining until you press that button. How you doing?
All right. So, we want to talk about a couple of things. We had a big gaming night here on Sunday.
It was Saturday. It was an entire day. It was a 12-hour period. Since we are old, it was actually mostly during the day.
Yeah.
let's not kid ourselves.
Yeah, I don't think we were the last ones to leave, were we? Did it go on after us? Or I don't remember.
I don't either. I wasn't sober for most of it.
Yeah. So you brought out a game which was a gift, by the way.
Yes, a gift from you, fishing for compliments, man.
I wasn't fishing for compliments. Just explain how you got the game, and the game is Ascension.
Ascension.
It's not a terribly new game. It came out two or three years ago.
Yeah, they seem to release it in seasons, so there's been three releases.
It is a deck building game
built for those gaming geeks out there, created by three Magic the Gathering Pro Tour champions. But it's not that kind of card game. The deck building game is its own genre.
It is a different kind of deck building game. Even among deck building games, it is different. Now, for those unfamiliar with it, a deck building refers to the idea that you start with a small number of cards.
Everyone
starts with the same cards. Pretty much, right?
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't any difference in the
variation.
And they're like lousy cards. They're like, man, this is a handful of crap I've got.
They're the red shirts of the Star Trek universe.
That's a terribly geeky analogy.
Nerding it up, bro. Not even geeky, but nerdy. Yeah, that is.
And everybody starts with the same thing. And the idea is, as the game goes on, you get better cards and put them into your hand. And then you each turn you draw so many cards out of your own deck that you are building.
Which you're gradually building by
hence
killing
the name
and buying
deck builder.
Deck
building. Yeah.
Deck builder.
That was almost good. so that's what it is. You get better and better cards, and maybe you can get rid of some of the crap cards that you start out with, and you get to do more and more things with those better cards as the game progresses.
If anyone's ever played the grandfather of these games, Dominion, or Thunderstone, or Penny Arcade, or Ascension, those are all deck-building games.
Yeah.
There are others, too.
So it was the first time I played it, and it was a lot of fun, even though I lost horribly. I got demolished in the game.
Wow, I destroyed everyone I played with the first time I ever played it. Huh.
Yeah, well, good for you.
Thanks.
I'm glad that was the second part of the gift, Mike, was me losing terribly to you. All part of the plan.
Aw, you're so thoughtful.
Yeah, yeah. I went with a tactic, which is a common tactic in these games, to try to get rid of my crap cards as fast as I could. But that didn't seem to work out. I just wasn't getting the right other cards to let me do that. Wasn't able to burn away the separate the wheat from the chaff as fast as I would have liked to.
And I think that's so I've learned with this game. So I have it on the iPad, and I have so the way they do it is they release a main set like once a year or whatever, and then they have an expansion that pairs well with that. So I have like 4 total games plus a promo pack, all on the iPad because it's way cheaper to buy it digitally. And I've been playing. I've probably played 300 to 500 games at this point because it goes really quick. I have the animations on fast on the game, so it looks like my iPad's having an epileptic seizure.
Right.
It literally looks like the automated card dealer just started throwing cards everywhere because it's so fast. But I've noticed that unlike a lot of deck building games where you are purchasing each round from predetermined pools.
Right. It's a different. It's a different random. Like
it's entirely
five
random
or six cards each time
in the center. Right. And there's only like two cards you can buy every turn. Right. That remain the same.
Right.
So I don't. It's hard to picture, but it's like you can always buy either a way to buy more stuff or a way to kill more stuff that are mediocre, or try to just see what's in the center, which is always changing when someone.
Right, you're never sure what you're going to be able to buy until it becomes your turn.
And it's fun, and there was a lot of drunken trash talking from me. I think, and
I wasn't drunk yet.
Yeah, I think it was just me.
Yeah, it was just you, Mike.
It was like 12:30 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
I was getting my game on.
With your what was that? Your whiskey or something?
That
was a spiced rum.
No, it was the Bacardi Oak Heart that I purchased in International Waters.
So it was a spiced rum that had been
aged, matured in a burned oak cask. So you get that nice vanilla. But again, I purchased it in the middle of the ocean. I just want that on the record because I one of the only reasons I did it. So we were on a cruise, and I was like, oh my God, it's a $10 bottle of Bacardi, and I'm in international waters. I could almost say, like, this is smuggled. Although
$10? That's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, buy two bottles for
$20. That's probably the cheapest thing on the ship that you could have bought.
Prostitutes were surprisingly affordable.
I that's a surprise. I would think, they've got a captive market. I would think that prostitutes and many other things on that ship would be fairly expensive.
You know, I kept a lookout for, because you always hear weird stories on cruises. I'm watching the levels. It's high.
All right. I want you closer to me, Mike.
Yeah, I know. It looks like we're doing that like romantic movie thing where we're just having a scene where we're slowly getting closer. We're doing a really, really ghetto version of this podcast recording setup because my sound card is crap and we're sharing a single headset microphone. So, yeah.
Mike's got the left thing on his ear and I got the right thing on my ear.
It's really stretched out, guys.
Yeah. So my right ear and Mike's left ear are touching right now. And it's kind of
it's
uncomfortable.
If we turn just a little bit, man, magic could happen.
Let's not do that.
No. Right. Look straight ahead.
Just like Rapine.
Without the wall.
Yeah.
I always hear stories on cruise ships how they zap fat. They electrocute your fat.
And what?
You never heard this?
No.
Yeah, what? Like weird things happen. There were some advertised.
Is this something that happened? Did they electrocute people on this cruise, Mike?
It's something that gets offered. It's like electrothermy or something. There's some therothermy. I don't know. There were some really sketchy-looking things that were actually advertised by the cruise ship.
Is for reals?
For real. I'll show you the itinerary with it on there.
So what is the idea of this? Are they like we know you're going to pig out while you're on this cruise, so we're going to give you a way to zap away that fat.
Yeah,
so
but I don't think it zaps it away. I think it freezes it.
Why not just,
paralyzes it?
We have a guy who will come around and stick his finger down your throat so you can throw up and then go eat again.
That
would be like probably a lot cheaper.
That might have been on offer and I just didn't see
possibly
it.
Possibly less dangerous.
Why would you? I would just do it myself rather than paying someone else to do it.
You're on a cruise, Mike. You don't do things yourself.
Oh, cabin steward. Yes, Chauncey. Would you please, if you just put it down. Yes. Can I please get a crab? Just a whole crab. Don't even kill it, Chauncey. I'm suddenly peckish. And then come back around with that finger. Thank you.
Certainly, sir.
Dude, that was crazy, though. I know we completely changed gears, but, like, there is a degree. I've worked in fine dining for years, so I'm fairly, I'm familiar with the two Michelin star level of service, which is certainly pretty high, but, not a four star kind of thing.
Right.
But when you step on a cruise, it's like a bunch of people horribly dressed, gradually getting fatter as the cruise goes on. But the level of service, you feel like you're all foreign dignitaries. Like, you have, the three-person wait staff.
There are constantly people spying on you.
Yes. Yes, and there's briefcases.
Bombs going
off. So many briefcases exchanging hands. I don't know where they came from. But, but it's like you call your cabin steward, and they're like, yeah, what can I get for you? And then they do the towel origami, so there's a different animal waiting for you every night.
That was cool. I saw the pictures of that.
I actually requested a monkey for my wife and then handed the cabin steward a 20. Like,
nice.
I felt very like, oh, this is okay. I think this is what I'm supposed to do. I'd like a monkey. Here's a 20.
So apparently that was what you were supposed to do.
It worked.
It worked.
So yeah.
So Ascension.
Ascension, great game.
Was fun. I look forward to playing the again, even though I lost horribly.
Well, okay, so to get back to Ascension really quick. One of the interesting things about that game that makes it different than other deck-building games is not only is it much more random, which admittedly makes it, even if you're really good at the game, like, it's still random.
Yes.
But there are four different factions. So there's the monsters, which do different things when you kill them, which is good. But then there's also four distinctly different types of heroes and items to buy as well. And they interplay with each other in different ways. So I think the mistake you might have made is you went with a set strategy of burn my cards.
Yes.
But if you're not getting a lot of void heroes coming up, then that makes that, like, you're going to ignore better opportunities to go after the banished cards.
No.
So I did. I made this mistake a couple of times where I'm like, I'm going to try a certain strategy, and it never, not once has that worked, because you have to dynamically shift. So I'll, like, completely shift gears halfway through a game, which makes it really entertaining.
All right. I'll probably try the same thing next time anyway.
You can, and maybe it'll work, and then I'll be the worst thing for you, because you've been rewarded for your obstinance once.
Yeah.
It'll never work again.
Yeah, I'm like that.
Yeah, that's true.
I like trying the same thing over and over again.
Isn't that insanity?
It is. Okay. I like to think so.
Trying the same thing over and over and expecting a different result?
Yeah. So another game that I played that Mike did not play was Puzzle Strike.
Yeah.
Which is also a deck builder.
Can you explain it how you explained it to me? Because I thought that was hilarious.
Okay. No, I think this is actually how they explain it in the instructions. It is a deck builder that uses chips instead of cards to simulate a fictional puzzle game, which simulates a fictional fighting game.
Did everyone follow that?
No, of course not. Nobody would. So the game is based on a puzzle game. It's called Puzzle Strike, and it's basically built like to mimic Puzzle Fighter, which everybody, I'm sure, remembers as the dueling puzzle game, which was based on the Street Fighter franchise.
Oh yeah, of course.
Yeah, it was real. It was a popular game.
I do remember. It was basically Tetris, but it.
It was more like the Mario one, right?
Oh,
the,
Dr. Mario?
Dr. Mario.
Sorry, my Bronx accent.
Dr. Mario?
Mario. I can't control it. It just happens.
Dr. Mario.
Oh, my God. Dr. Girlfriend. I can't do that.
Yeah, it was that kind of a game. So this is a board slash card slash chip game, which resembles that. The big difference between that and... Well, one of the big differences is using chips instead of cards, which is really handy because the chips are... They go into a bag. You don't have to shuffle them up. So when you want to shuffle and deal your cards with your chips, you just put them in the bag and then draw out five or six at random.
Advantage games with chips.
Yeah. And the other thing about it is, unlike Ascension and a lot of the other deck-building games, those games... they're more of you trying to play your own game. There's some interaction with the other players, but it's kind of
generally to dick them over, and that's about it.
Yeah, but it's like dicking them over every once in a while.
Right.
Like, oh, hey, here's something that can dick somebody over. Boom.
In Ascension, it's, oh, you're going to buy that. Nah, no.
Yeah.
I'm gonna make it so no one can buy it.
Puzzle Fighter is much more focused on the dicking people over. And in fact, that's the whole point of the game. You have a gem pile which builds up like it would in the puzzle game. The gems keep falling. And if you end a turn with more than 10 gems in your pile, you lose. That's it. That's how the game ends.
Huh. So it's like when the screen would fill up.
Yes, exactly. Okay, exactly. Gotcha. So everything that you have is meant... All the things you have are either defensive or offensive or made for getting the gems out of your area, sending them to the other player... There's so many ways to screw people over, but that's the whole point of the game. I mean, it's all opponent based. So there's nothing that like you have to capture or buy that you would in the other games like Dominion.
It's like PvP.
It's all PvP.
Right.
Yeah.
That is a nice twist on it, and it was made by a genius who also worked on.
It was made by David Serland, who nobody probably remembers this, but he worked on a game called Street Fighter
Super Street Fighter 2
Turbo HD Remix, which was the sequel to Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo. And the HD Remix was the point of that. The HD Remix was that they rebalanced everything to make all of the characters equally viable for more of a tournament sort of game.
Did they
that sounds terribly nerdy.
It was terribly nerdy. Well, I'm going to go with wonderfully nerdy. But whenever I see HD, I think high definition. Did they up the graphics or something?
I don't think the graphics were changed much, but I could be way wrong.
Somebody started, we can add HD to anything.
Yeah.
It stands for high density, as in high density nerd.
Yeah. Perhaps it was.
Yeah.
David, Mr. Sirlin was in charge of the whole rebalancing thing. That was his goal, to get that game at a level where it was a very tournament oriented thing. And that's his guiding principle with the other games he's made, like Puzzle Strike. So it's meant to be very, very balanced, but at the same time you've got 10 or 20 characters if you get there's Puzzle Strike and then Puzzle Strike Shadows, which is the standalone expansion.
Shadows.
Yes. That's actually the one I have. And the expansion is playable by itself. It has all of the base components that the main game has.
Can you mix them?
Yeah, you can mix them. And each one has 10 different characters, and each player, and you can play either 2, 3, or 4 players. Each player gets their own character. Each character has 3 character-specific chips, which have special abilities on them, and they're all completely different from one another.
Is one of them a 10-hit combo?
It's stuff like that. And the game that I played, I had one chip which was like a single use for the whole game. You could use it once and then it was gone for the game.
Huh.
And it would get rid of all of the 1 point gems in your gem pile.
All right.
I ended up in a situation where I had like 8 or 9 single point gems and I would have lost on that turn. Then I played that and I got rid of all of them and sent half of them to the opponent and ended up winning on that turn.
Wah, wah, wah.
Yeah. They have one of the other characters has something that will actually let her take a turn with the opponent's chips. Some of them let you go through your chip pile and pull out something that's been in the bag or in the discard pile. Lots and lots of different things.
Is that one game changing move?
Yes.
Gotcha. Yeah.
And each character has 3 of them.
Wow, that's cool. That makes me think of Battlestar Galactica, which we also played at this event.
Oh.
Which is arguably the most complicated game I've ever played. Arguably. And you and I have beat Arkham.
Did we?
Oh, no, we did. No, we did, because we never played it again, so we must have beat it. I remember this. You showed up. I think you had beer, or no, you had cider. And he said, okay, 2 characters each, no cell phones, our wives are out, let's beat this game.
Yeah, this is a game that it's supposedly, you can do in 2 to 3 hours, it says on the box?
I'm pretty sure it's just 90 to 120 minutes or something ridiculous. Yeah,
crazy. And it took us was it 7 hours?
No, it took us 5 hours playing 2 characters each to speed it up, and both our wives ended up at my apartment.
We should have played with 4 characters. We should have just played with 2.
2, probably. But I remember them mocking us mercilessly.
Yeah. Yeah,
which they do anyway.
This second time we tried to play this. We tried to play this game in the group with 6 people.
Yeah,
and it was just nuts.
And we got so bored; they were all playing on their cell phones, and we just
everybody started playing 7 hours with friends, and nobody cared at the end of the game. It just dragged on and on.
But anyway, so Battlestar. If anyone's familiar with Battlestar Galactica, you're trying to root out, it has that Resistance werewolf mafia element where on top of everything with the game, you're trying to find Earth. Which is really hard. Really, Earth does not want to be found in this game. Earth's F you. You got to, lose 90% of your population to even get close to me. But on top of all that, you're trying to root out who is a Cylon.
Right.
The spy.
Because they'll screw up the rest of the stuff, right?
Well, that's where I'm going. So, we played and we had, a heartbreaking end to this game. We, somehow, the first
round... As it should be, I think.
I know. Well, they pulled it off in the show. We did not. But we got really close. So you have 4 different things. You have your food, your population, your morale, and your fuel.
Yes. This is already complicated, Mike.
Right, I know. So none of those can drop to 0. If they drop to 0, you lose. Pretty simple. And obviously, it takes fuel to, jump in space to get where you're going.
That's what I've heard.
Right. I mean, that's what I, in my space exploration,
I haven't jumped in space personally, but everybody I know who's done it says, you got to bring fuel. You got to bring fuel.
So Mike, if you've seen our, our logo, clearly we've jumped in space because we're high-fiving and hadoukening in space.
That was upper atmosphere, I think.
Really?
I don't know if we made it to space yet, because there's clearly a planet right there.
Well, I think Buddies in Space sounds a lot better than Buddies in the Upper Atmosphere.
It does.
It doesn't roll.
It's a little misleading, though.
It is. Yeah. Well, okay. Well, we'll just edit that part out. So we had it. So we literally had done everything we needed to do. Everything. All we had to do was jump our ship one more time. We had one fuel left, and it was possible that this was going to work.
Yeah.
And we didn't get any Cylons the first time that the bad guy cards went out, because you can end up being a Cylon or not, and you don't tell anyone. So the second hand of those came out, we knew, that, okay, now we're going to get screwed with. So right at the end of the game, we were all like, okay, Earth is like, we can see it. We just have to move this little square like 1 inch over, and we've won.
Mm-hmm.
And then Alex, who brought the game, turned over his Cylon card and then just forced us to burn a fuel for no reason. Like, it just was basically use up a fuel. So he's like, I'm a Cylon! Lit the fuel on fire, we died. But the reason I wanted to tell this was because it's a great game that is way too complicated, but I still want to play it and beat it for once. He was telling me today, when I saw him at work, because I work with him, that right after he played with us, he left a little bit early. He went to play it at another friend's house because they asked him to bring it.
Uh-huh.
And he beat them before one turn ended. He was a Cylon again, and he took away each of their once-a-game ability.
What?
He got this Super Crisis card. Like, the cards are ridiculous. So he got the Stinger. He's like, oh, I'm the Cylon, and oh, I take away all of your once-a-game abilities. And you pretty much need those to win.
Can you just, like, kill yourself at that point?
They did. They capitulated. They were like, we lose. Like, wow. They just threw their hands up and were like, F you.
Aww.
I think he felt pretty good about it, though. He's like, if you're going to win, you got to win, like, in 10 minutes.
I would think that he probably started a new game after that.
Battlestar, it takes so long to set up.
But you said they did it. How much longer would it take to set up after you just started?
Depending on the character you're using, he's got, like, three expansions. So there's, like, three other ships floating around. It's a complicated game.
Puzzle Strike, less so.
Less so.
Ascension less so.
I like that those games, like, you can buy expansions, but unlike the Magic and Star Wars and Yu-Gi-Oh! And Pokemon and all those kind of games, like, you're not spending hundreds of dollars on boosters. You just buy the game, and it's everything you need.
Yeah. And one, I guess, a final thought. I would put Ascension at probably the easiest of these games.
The one we played is.
Well, yeah.
The game that was going concurrently in the other room that both our wives are playing is the next set after the one you got me, and that's more complicated. And then the one that Andrew got that we played later, way more complicated.
So if you're thinking about, hey, that sounds like a neat thing, a deck building game where I get to have my own deck of cards
and kill monsters, buy heroes and constructs.
Yeah. The first Ascension game, which is Chronicles of the God Slayer.
Second edition. Which I think is the only one on the market at this point.
Sure. And hey, man, I have always wanted to slay a god, so
you can actually buy Aaron the Godslayer card, and he can kill any monster.
Yeah,
I mean, I can't say that about myself. I can't be like, I can kill any monster I run across.
No.
My name's Mike. I'm Mike the spider slayer, and like small spiders, dude. Not like the big,
not that
spiders.
Like that big funnel thing that was in your garden.
That's the scariest spider ever. It's so big, and it built like it's more intelligent than like me.
Yeah.
It's got a funnel, like...
It built its own house.
It did. It's, like, it's got a condo complex.
I think it's renting out to other spiders.
Oh, man. If there's some spider prostitution going on, I want to cut in on this. I own the property. We do, you know.
Anyway, so the Ascension, I think, of the three games that we've mentioned, I would put that as the most accessible.
It's very accessible. People say, how do you play this game? Within 5 minutes, they get it very quickly.
Yeah. Puzzle Strike, I would put a step above that. It's still very easy to pick up and learn, but because of the nature of it, because it's a little less random than the other ones.
Strategy is more.
There's certainly strategy. There's certainly amount of, you know, I know what my character can do. I know what my opponent's character can do. A person who's played a few games will probably demolish a person who's just picking it up for the first time.
Okay, unlike Ascension, where I came in 1 point higher than Stu, who had never played it before.
Yeah, exactly.
And then Battlestar is like, dear God, do not play this game unless you are a hardcore geek.
Want
to spend 5 to 6 hours playing your first game of it.
Yes.
Okay, well, we've rated those. Thank you for joining.
But all great games. All great games.
All great games in their own way. And, you know, we don't play Monopoly, you know, we're from Candyland.
We played some crap games. We know the good from the crap. And
we like complex games. We gravitate towards those. So, we'll leave you with this. You're welcome. Go to YouTube right now and YouTube YLVIS.
YLVIS. I think everybody has already seen
this. If you haven't seen this, it is the latest thing that we're all hooked on. Maybe we're a little behind the curve, but it's YLVIS is the name of the band, and then it's like The Fox, or What Does the Fox Say? And I promise you, if you haven't seen this, you will find us and thank us for telling you about this.
And tell them Buddies in Space sent you.
Buddies in Space. That's what the fox says.
Scene?
Scene.